title of Hem's new album, Departure and Farewell, sounds like a prediction that will be their last recording together. But it looks like after 14 years of existence, the Brooklyn-based group has proved even their own prediction wrong. Their latest effort has already been getting great reviews, and you can see them this coming Saturday at 8 when they'll be at the Bowery Ballroom. But we're about to get a live preview right now because we've invited them to perform here in our WNYC studios. And I'm very happy to welcome to our show Sally Ellison, Dan Massey, Steve Curtis, Gary Moore, George Rush, and Dawn Landis. It's a big crowd, even though this is a big studio.
This is actually small for us.
Hasn't Hem seemed kind of unpredictable from the get-go? Didn't you start up without any singer at first?
Well, we started up with me as the singer, which is like having no singer.
So what happened? You ran an ad?
We ran an ad in the Village Voice. This was pre-internet, actually. And, we were besieged by people, but ultimately we found Sally, which was a miracle.
And Sally, it took you a while to contact Dan?
Well, I had a friend who was bothering me to start singing, and so I found a Village Voice in my apartment. It happened to be 2 weeks old. And I said, oh, I'll answer this ad. And it was Dan's ad, and he said, just give me a demo. And I said, I don't have a demo. I'm not a singer. And he
You
said,
were really pushing yourself hard.
I mean, I was reluctant at best. But I had made a lullaby tape for a friend of mine who had a baby, and so I convinced him to let me come over and let him record my lullaby tape that I was sending to my friend.
And, Deb, what did you think of Sally's voice when you finally heard it?
Well, I wasn't even planning on listening to the tape, to be honest, and I actually went to press play on the—I had a tape-to-tape, and I pressed play on the wrong tape button, and her voice came on, and it was like being struck by lightning. I remember thinking, all of a sudden, my voice as a songwriter made sense when I heard her voice.
So it didn't change the way you approached songwriting when you had a very different voice singing the songs?
It inspired. It's odd.
It was a match.
It was a match, and it has since inspired countless songs. I mean, I've been much more productive since Sally's voice has.
Well, this is kind of like writing a part in a play for an actor you know is going to do it.
I don't know. I feel like she's channels me. It's odd.
But Sally, you had never performed on stage, so was that something you had to adjust to?
I mean, I think none of us had really been all that stage friendly, and we all really did need to adjust to it. It was definitely very nerve-wracking at first.
Well, maybe we've talked enough, at least from the start. We're going to hear a song. You're going to sing Tourniquet.
Yes, this is.
And later we can find out a little more about it, but what do you want to say in advance?
Well, this is a song about our borough, Brooklyn. So some people might recognize their little area of Brooklyn in the song. Probably not in the same way that the song is going to sing about it, though.
Well, I'm a resident of Brooklyn. You better be nice.
We love Brooklyn.
Into the Gowanus Canal, where it sinks to as you pull the belt tight. And this tourniquet turns even tighter until traffic comes to a standstill. We come to a standstill. I come to a standstill.
Hem singing Tourniquet, Sally Ellison on vocal, Dawn Landis on harmony vocal, and Dan Massey on piano. Also Glockenspiel? Did I hear Glockenspiel?
You did.
We love the Glock.
We rock the Glock.
Gary Murrow on guitar. Steve Curtis also guitar. None of you were playing mandolins on that, but you also play other string instruments. George Rush on string bass. You don't see that much in pop music these days. And why the name Tourniquet?
Well, that particular song came out of a really dark time for me personally, where I was sort of hitting a bottom. And basically Brooklyn, which is a place that I really love dearly, just seemed really dangerous all of a sudden, where every neighborhood that I used to love seemed like it was full of sharp edges. And so when I wrote that song, it had 14 verses in it. I did every neighborhood, and it became word salad by the time I got to Brownsville. And once I sort of came up from the depths, I was able to shape it into that song.
And the band was on the verge of falling apart?
Yeah, I mean, basically, you know, I was really struggling with pills at the time, and I basically alienated every single person in the band, and it sort of, we all fell apart, basically.
Well, bands are hard to keep together anyway, because you're putting together all of these different people who may be friends for a while, but there's no guarantee they'll remain friends.
It's a really hard relationship.
Yeah, but there was no Yoko involved in this conversation.
No, God.
But you know what? We are the least likely band to have a drug addiction. It was just very, very funny that we went down that road, because we are like a family. We really get along.
And you'd been riding high. You had you were the musical group for Shakespeare in the Park, mm-hmm. The Twelfth Night. I love that production.
Thank you.
The one with Anne Hathaway and Audra McDonald. You composed the music as well?
Yeah.
That must have been fun.
That was really fun. That was an amazing experience.
And then your first album, Rabbit Songs, got so much attention. One of the songs on that album, Half Acre, was even used in a TV commercial for Liberty Mutual Insurance. Did that lead to gigs?
Actually, it led to allowing us to keep making records, which is, I mean, our career has sort of spanned the decline of the music industry. We started out when major labels were still prominent. In fact, we were signed to Dream. I think we were the last band to be signed to DreamWorks before they got sold. And having a stream of income was really a godsend. It allowed us to make all the, you know, three more albums, basically.
Then your fourth album, Funnel Cloud, had a 21-piece orchestra, featured the Smashing Pumpkins guitarist James Iha and a la belle vocalist Amy Helm, the Levon's daughter. Mm-hmm. So that was even bigger than this group.
We had on our second album, we had a full orchestra from Slovakia. So we don't mess around. We like to add people in.
Well, there are a lot of musicians living in Brooklyn. You got a lot to draw from.
It's a lot like being a screenwriter in L.A. It's like everyone is a musician in Brooklyn.
We understand you're going to do another song called So Long. Was this the saying goodbye song that you planned before you decided not to say goodbye?
This is we put the first song, Departure and Farewell, on is the first song on the album, and So Long is the last song, and it's you know, tipping our hat to the idea behind the album, but it's really a hello because we're back.
So long, my love. This world may not be enough. Let go, but stay strong. So long, my love. What falls apart recalls where it was bound. Your heart to my heart. So
So Long by Him. We have very little time left, but I've heard that you've all struggled with how best to describe your music. Why? What would you,
I think because
if you were forced to, if I put a gun to your head, what would you say?
I would call us a folk band because we are all about making music together in a room. That's what we're trying to capture. So even when we're playing with a 100-piece orchestra, we still want it to sound like people playing music together in a room.
Don recently said pastoral. I think that's a great description.
Well, you don't have a drummer, although Don does play tambourine and other kind of rhythm instruments.
We do have a drummer, too, though.
Oh, you do?
Just
didn't bring him today? So how big is the band altogether?
I think we expand to around 14, sometimes on stage, different combinations. We also contract to 4.
And how long have all of the people in this room been together?
12 years.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Steve and I is 25.
But all of us together in this room, 12 years.
Yes. The lowest common denominator is 12 years.
Coming up with the name Hem before that?
Hem, well, again, it started out as just a one-off project. So, like, we didn't even think of ourselves as a band. It wasn't until that we realized that we loved what we were doing and we wanted to keep doing it that we had to come up with a name for ourselves.
I was a television news producer, and I had to quit my job so we could tour.
And what does HEM stand for? Is that initials?
No, it's actually just like the hem of a dress, another sort of ending. We're all about the endings.
Now, people are talking these days about how chic Brooklyn is. In fact, the Times has this a very annoying article today. as though they just discovered that Brooklyn is a place that people want to be. But how important is it, do you think, for your ethos?
Hugely.
For me, it's everything.
Brooklyn is, especially when I first moved there, it's just got the country in the city.
We we're going to go out with a little bit of your music, but people can hear your new CD, Departure and Farewell, on Waveland Records, and you'll be performing this Saturday at the Bowery Ballroom. That's at 6 Delancey Street, 8 p.m. Ticket details on our show page. My great thanks to Sally Ellison, Dan Massey, Gary Maurer, Steve Curtis, George Rush, and Dawn Landis for being on our show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Where the light is wrong, where a stranger's hands there.